Information of the body, I have checked with the prime sponsor and he has expressed no opposition to the changes made by the Senate amendment. There was only one minor change made by the amendment on page 1, line 5, and that was to extend the termination date for 6 years versus 4 years as proposed in the House version. With that, Madam Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 294, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 294, Labor and Commerce, and urge the members to vote yes.
Good debate. Hearing none, members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? If any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
37 yeas, 2 nays.
And so the House has concurred. The Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 294, Labor and Commerce. Madam Majority
Whip. Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call on the concurrence vote on Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 294, Labor and Commerce, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Additional unfinished business come before this body, Representative Norton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 251.
Senate Bill 251 is before us. Clerk, please read that bill for the third and final time.
House CS for CS for Senate Bill 251, financed by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund and the Fisheries Enhancement Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
Their debate. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. When this came up yesterday, there wasn't any debate, and since then I've had a chance to read over the material some, and my main concern is the application of this program to, you know, a group of people that has access to this, and of course, majority of my constituents don't, but I have come to understand the need for it. A couple questions I did have are, first of all, my presumption is that the person out there who faces a variety of debts, let's say you've got debts for your house and debts to the bank for various things, you've got debts for child support, you've got IRS debts, that although the bill now only names IRS, that what would effectively happen is people use whatever funds they have available to pay all but the IRS debts. So that we're encouraging shorting the IRS, which may or may not be good public policy. Because if you retain your debt in those other areas, you don't qualify for this new loan from the state. It's only if the debt is to IRS. And I just want to make sure my understanding of that is clear. I'm not saying it's bad or good. The other question I had is, are there funds now available for all these purposes? Because we've got the existing program, we've got the refinancing program, we've got the expansion of your upgrading of your vessel program, and we've got your paying your income tax program. And I'd be much more concerned about legislation like this if it was going to preclude people from getting loans to purchase permits. But I'm not familiar with the recent history of the program and whether there's been adequate funds available for all of these. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Moses.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In answer to his first question, I think that in a lot of cases that would be true. Or if I had my way, instead of talking about IRS debt, I probably would have been inclined to say any debt. Quite often they have insurance on their vessel they have to take care of for the coming season, and they get caught in a bind. And of course, this situation has been created by the state and by imposing this permit system on them back in 72 or 73. And it so happens that it has become an asset through that program of considerable value. And it's an easy thing, the easiest thing possible for the IRS to go after. And they found out, in fact, I did get a permit myself through a court action, and they came looking me up to find out how I did it a few years ago. It was quite interesting. But that's the sad part of it. This has been imposed on the permit holders by the state, creating that particular valuable piece of paper, and it so happens it has become attachable by the IRS. And I think in the very near future, and probably before the sunset clause on this bill, which is 3 years, most any institution will be able to attach a permit, because I think it's inevitable. It is a property, our valuable asset, and easily attached. They'd much rather attach that piece of paper than to attach a boat, which they have to maintain and hire a caretaker and et cetera. And it's just that's a situation that has developed over the years, and it's particularly pronounced now that we have very low prices in the industry, and a lot of the fishermen got caught with high interest financing through various not too common financing institutions, and paying 16-18%. And that's also covered in this bill, where they can refinance and get out from those high interest short-term, or not, they're mainly 5-7 year loan terms at a lot of them at 18% interest. And on the second question, there has been surplus funds have been turned back to the general fund, and the department does expect there will be enough money available for all the needs that are created by this bill. And there is also a provision that the surplus would be extended to enhancement hatchery loans. I have an identical bill that met this bill in finance. It's a good bill, and I hope you all vote for it.
Call has been satisfied. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The provision, the mention of the issue of loans to hatcheries isn't, though, in this bill. I mean, I just want to make sure I'm not confusing that. Is that released to another bill? Or I guess the question is more directly, is there a provision I missed that relates to excess being available to hatcheries in this bill?
Representative Moses.
Which my understanding is in this bill, I haven't checked recently.
Representative Finkelstein.
Well, Madam Speaker, if I could, if someone could help me find that, because I tried to read through all the new uses of this loan fund and
House entities. House, please come back to order. You can look. Representative Foster, you're seeking the floor.
Yes, ma'am. Very briefly, back to introductions while I have a chance, please.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
I have a dear friend in the gallery behind me. He was a legislator 20 years ago exactly, and one of the native leaders that we've got up in my area. Former mayor, currently the head of the Native Corporation of St. Michael, Al Nackek.
Al, nice to see you, and as a former representative, it would give me pleasure to extend the courtesy of the floor to you at this time.
I left my 10-page report, so I'm not going to read that. It's just a pleasure to be among such honorable people.
Thank you. Mr. Sergeant-at-Arms, has the call been satisfied? The call has been satisfied. We're under debate, under reconsideration. Committee substitute, Senate Bill 251, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board? Representative Davies? Will the clerk please tally the board?
25 yeas, 15 nays.
And so House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 251, Finance, has passed the House under reconsideration. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move the effective date clauses.
Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, clerk, please tally the board.
39 yeas, 1 nay.
And so the effective date clauses have been adopted. Additional unfinished business to come before this body. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Moore.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We're still scheduled at 3 o'clock this afternoon to have a Ledge Council meeting, room 124, the Resources Committee meeting room, and it should be a very short agenda.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There will be a continuation of yesterday's District Committee meeting at 4 p.m. in the District Room.
Representative Foster.
Yes, ma'am. A quick reminder, transportation today at 5.
Representative Olber.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet in room 124 immediately following floor session. Please, everybody be prompt.
Additional announcements. Special orders. Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd ask permission of the body to speak on legislative process.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today is National Bring Your Daughter to Work Day. And so I and a lot of other people are having the pleasure of having our daughters with us observing what we do at work. And Amy, I think, has been bored enough of the discussions we've had. I think she's now gone back up to my office. But frankly, Madam Speaker, I was really glad that she was not with me earlier today in the House State Affairs Committee meeting, because when the House State Affairs Committee met at 9 o'clock this morning, had Amy been there, she would have seen something that was the antithesis of democracy, and I would have been very embarrassed to have a high school student see what was the lame excuse for a committee meeting. Madam Speaker, in my 8 years in the legislature, I have had very few committee hearing experiences in which I really could think of only one word, and that was a sham. There was absolutely no resemblance of what one could describe as an honest and fair process to allow people to testify, to allow members to ask questions, to allow members to offer amendments. It was a meeting at which quite clearly the decision had been made prior to starting the meeting that the bills were going to be brought up and shipped out. It didn't happen with just one bill, Madam Speaker. It happened with two bills. There was a fairly simple criminal justice bill before us that had allegedly been heard in a number of other committees. And when I asked a question and asked for the courtesy of having the representative from the Department of Law, who was present in the room, answer my question, I was told that I would just have to get my question answered someplace else. I just have to wait till after the committee hearing, because after all, the other members of the committee had had the benefit of hearing the bill someplace else. Well, Madam Speaker, to the best of my knowledge, I cannot think of another committee chairman on this floor, this legislative session, or any other time that I've served in the legislature that wouldn't extend the courtesy to a member of the committee to get a legitimate question answered. The only question that was asked on that bill, and it wasn't a matter of having to send for somebody in the administration. The representative from the administration was sitting right there. could have answered the question. Madam Speaker, I almost rose on a point of order earlier because I really considered this something that was personally sufficiently offensive and a violation of the rules to be something that should be noted not only by the Speaker as a rule violation, but something that all other members, particularly committee chairmen, should take note of. I guess if there were more than 10 days left in this legislature, it might be worth it, but at this point, I guess it's probably not. We then went on, Madam Speaker, to Senate Bill 215. Senate Bill 215, as you probably know, is a fairly complicated bill. It deals with the 470 fund. And, Madam Speaker, we had in front of us, put on the table this morning, a State Affairs Committee substitute, which no one had seen prior to walking in the committee that morning, including the sponsor of the legislation, who is with us, and who made it quite clear that he had not seen it before, and found it difficult to answer some of the questions that were asked because he was very confused, as we all were, going back and forth between the Senate version, the Resources Committee version, and the new version of the CS in front of us. Madam Speaker, I was permitted to ask a couple of questions of the sponsor, which I very much appreciated, but I was not permitted to ask any questions of the Department of Environmental Conservation, nor was the public given any opportunity to testify. The committee chairman simply made the motion to move the bill from committee, and when I objected for purposes of being able to get some questions answered, and Madam Speaker, had I been given the opportunity for purposes of offering amendments, we might have had a better understanding of what in fact is in that committee substitute, how it might differ from either the Resources Committee version, which I understand was developed after about 3 days of hearings and a good deal of hard work by the committee. I dare say the committee members of Resources probably know what's in their version, but I really don't think that either we on State Affairs or even the sponsor of the bill could at this point in time get up and explain the ramifications of the CS that was adopted so hastily this morning. We started taking up the bill at about 9:30. The motion to move the bill from committee was at 10 o'clock, a full 30 minutes on a very complicated bill. Madam Speaker, I don't remember another time at which I was not even given the courtesy to ask a question or propose an amendment. And Madam Speaker, I am truly offended by it. And I'm offended not just personally because I consider that I was treated with disrespect, but I am very offended because the entire legislature was treated with disrespect this morning. Madam Speaker, what do you think members of the public think about us when they come down from Kenai or Ketchikan or Fairbanks or wherever, come to a committee hearing, and don't see what we would describe as a democratic process, whereby people can ask questions on the record? I was told, well, I can make my amendments on the floor of the House. Well, Madam Speaker, you and I both know that you can't have either members of the public or representatives of the agencies be able to respond to questions on the floor of the House. If they can't do it in the committee, they can't do it at all, Madam Speaker. Why are we trying to stifle debate? Are we afraid of what the answers might be, Madam Speaker? Are we afraid to let the public understand what the ramifications are of a particular CS? What's the big rush? I mean, this was the very first hearing in State Affairs on a brand new CS that nobody had ever seen before. Why did it have to get out of there this morning? Why couldn't there have been an opportunity for the members? And I happen to know, Madam Speaker, that there were other members of the committee who also had questions of the agency that wanted to get things on the record. They don't get to do that, Madam Speaker, unless I suppose they go up to House Finance Committee, where I suspect that the co-chairs of finance may offer a little more courtesy to the members to allow them to ask their questions of the agency and be able to get those things on the record. Madam Speaker, when we treat the process with such disrespect, we can't feel too bad when the public calls the legislature names, when the public looks at the legislature as being a kangaroo court. Madam Speaker, we deserve what we get when the public looks at the entire governmental process and says, what the heck? Why should I send my letters or my POMs? Why should I make my phone calls? Why should I come to committee hearings and try to testify? if even an elected legislator doesn't even have her day in court to ask questions. Madam Speaker, I don't know about you, but in the many years that I have served here, I have had a very good feeling about most members' adherence to the rules and adherence to basic decency and respect toward each other. I certainly don't feel that way today.
House, stand at 8. House, please come back to order. Representative Foster.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. One more introduction, please.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
In the gallery behind me, I have a real good friend of mine, Mitch Erickson. He's the manager of the only bank that we've got in all of Western Antarctic Alaska, based in Nome. If you'll please stand. I always tell everybody that I always bring my legislative paycheck to his bank because it's too small to go by itself. But you know, last fall, Mitch stopped by my house and he knocked on my door and he wanted his calendar and his toaster back. So I knew my account wasn't doing that good. But anyway, Mitch, incidentally, is the nephew of Major Richard Ira Bong, who had 40 victories in the P-38 in the South Pacific in World War II, America's leading ace of all time. Mitch Erickson, his nephew, in the gallery behind me.
Further introduction of guest.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Paradovich Gallery, joining us today is the newly appointed Western Regional Director for U.S. Tobacco. And Todd assumed this position relatively recently, and this is his first visit up here to Juneau, so I'd like to have the body join me in welcoming Todd Walker to the Alaska State Legislature.
Additional guests to be introduced at this time. There being none, this brings us back to special orders. Representative Sitton, you were seeking the floor.
I was, Madam Speaker. Thank you. I would ask leave of the body to speak of constituents.
Without objection, you have the floor.
It's my happy duty, Madam Speaker, to report to you some good news about a constituent of mine, June Weinstock. She has come out of a coma that she's been in for about a month. You'll recall that June Weinstock was beaten by a mindless mob of mental midgets in Guatemala about a month ago and has since undergone all kind of trauma and recovery. Ask your prayers in support of June Weinstock as she continues her recovery, Madam Speaker.
Representative McLean, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. If I could have leave of the body to talk about money, money, money.
Without objection, you have the leave of the body.
We have the capital budget that is a working draft right now that's been distributed through each member's mailbox. I would ask each member to review it very closely. It is the total dollar amount for the capital budget is $96,700. We are under the $100 million cap, and there are, I'm very sad to say, very depressed that we don't have discretionary, and don't clap. But anyway, so I would ask you more seriously to review the capital budget because it's a very lean capital budget. What we did were the priorities were to match all federal and other funds, which we anticipate on actually receiving, not giving more federal authority, and improving the water and sewer conditions statewide, and to address deferred maintenance and statewide transportation and aviation needs, and the annual capital needs of the agencies, such as manuals for public safety. Those are the things that are in the capital budget, and I am sad to say that there is nothing for deferred maintenance on K-12 school programs. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I request permission of the body to speak on freedoms that we take so much for granted.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This morning when we were saying the Pledge of Allegiance, world events that have occurred in the last couple of days and are still occurring today really hit home to me. And I'd like just for everybody to stop for a moment and reflect on what is happening today, yesterday, in South Africa. And if anybody had seen Archbishop Desmond Tutu dance for joy at being able to cast a vote, it was such a wonderful, wonderful thing, Madam Speaker. And so often we just take for granted our privileges and our rights as citizens. And I think it was a very good lesson, and I hope people around the world looked to see what was happening in South Africa and realized really how precious our freedoms are.
Representative Vesey, you're speaking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on the vote of Senate Bill 24 at this time, and Senate Bill 164, and Senate Bill 350, and Senate Bill 351, and SCR 14.
With that, would the clerk please note the reconsideration on those bills? Additional special orders, Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Permission to the floor to speak on donations.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you. Some of the members of this floor have circulated a very scurrilous headline regarding someone with a similar name, I'm sure, and the lack of funds that that poor person has now. In the event I meet that person, and I would be happy to accept any and all donations from you to help him recover from his problem.
Without it, Madam Majority Leader, we're ready for the motion.
I move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, April 30th.
We're adjourned.